listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the November 2019 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Joaquin Phoenix on the cover. This is Vanity Fair, Part A. From Mary Alice Miller comes this look behind the issue from the editors, making waves. It's fitting that the latest actor to take up the mantle of the Joker, the comic book villain who has been played by Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, and Jared Leto, would insist on being fooled to get a good shot. Just trick me, Joaquin Phoenix urged Ethan James Green, whose portraits of the actor for this month's cover story, along with his portfolio of YouTube's brightest stars, are his first as a Vanity Fair contributing photographer. As Green recalls it, the shoot wasn't going well. He was trying to craft scenes. Phoenix was looking, as he does in all his roles, for authenticity. He pulled me aside and was like, "This is stupid," says Green, who embraced the critique as an invitation to simply capture their day together. So I said, "Okay, let's do something low-key." Low-key suited the actor perfectly. Phoenix is vegan inside and out. He doesn't wear cashmere, silk, wool, or leather, opting instead for his own Converse sneakers. On the day of his cover shoot, there was a single rack of clothes in cotton and linen. "For a timeless picture, it works great," says Green. "You can get away with more black and white." The monochrome palette proved particularly striking against the opalescent swimming pool, which reminded Green of a favorite photograph by his mentor David Armstrong. And then Rooney Mara, Phoenix's longtime girlfriend, arrived. Joaquin just lit up, Green recalls. "So I had Rooney sit out of frame and make him laugh." A few weeks later, news came that the couple was engaged. In the photos, soon to be, engaged couple Rooney Mara and Phoenix on the way to the Venice Film Festival. On set, stylist Tom Guinness and Vanity Fair contributing photographer Ethan James Green in Beverly Hills. Joaquin Phoenix, this month's cover subject, and star of the new film Joker. Here's the editor's letter for November 2019 from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief, The Power and the Glory. "The establishment can seem like a concept out of sync with our times. Those 20th century titans of industry who amassed supremacy and sway based on tangible things, iron, steel, celluloid images, those guys whose names were chiseled onto banks and libraries. They read like fossils of an earlier epoch, the Stone Age of influence. Not the people in our century don't slap their family crest on buildings, but the gesture is less everlasting. Ask any board member debating, privately or publicly, whether the name Sackler or Epstein remains capable of heralding artistic achievement or scientific inquiry when they've become synonymous with abuse, epidemic, and scandal. But the idea of an establishment remains helpful as long as it can contour and flex with the moment. It's good to get a handle on who's calling the shots on our money, our votes, our eyeballs. We live in their world, whether we celebrate, fear, or loathe them. The cultural elite is more fluid these days, thankfully. The political elite more mercurial. The financial elite? Kinda, sorta, mostly the same. But let's see how the economy is doing 12 months from now. For our annual new establishment list this fall, Now, in its 25th year, our team of editors, led by John Homans, Ben Landy, and Claire Lansbaum, made some structural changes. They broke down our group of 100 into 10 categories, the better to show how the establishment itself has fractured even as it intertwines. Throughout this issue, power manifests in myriad forms. Hasan Minhaj pokes at the lion's den from the stage of Patriot Act, his Netflix show, which is in its fourth season. Emily Weiss invented Glossier, the beauty company valued at $1.2 billion that doubles as a way of life. Emma Chamberlain, the rising Gen Z siren of YouTube, leads our portfolio of famous creators who are, as Richard Lawson writes in his accompanying essay, navigating success in new ways now that YouTube celebrity has begun to resemble establishment celebrity. Not something we might have imagined when the age of user-generated content began and the platform's stars tended to be, as Richard writes, earnest kids on the edge of their beds. And in an excerpt from his new book, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, reflects on his friendship and partnering with Steve Jobs. Jobs died 8 years ago this fall, and as I read Bob's story, I wondered how our world might be different if he were still here. If he were bringing his exacting, perfectionist point of view to our stormy seascape of technology, media, and entertainment. There are people on our new establishment list right now whose presence on Earth holds great import. What they do will determine whether the planet remains livable for humans, whether our elections will be tampered with, whether a kid aspires to start a business or go into comedy or pick up a tennis racket because he or she sees that it can be done. The establishment isn't a collective colossus anymore, nor does it rely on institutional power. It is individual, unexpected, and far-reaching, and that's what makes it new. In the photos, happenings, Priyanka Chopra, Jonas, and Radhika Jones at Vanity Fair's Best Dressed List party at L'Avenue in New York City. And a book cover, Vanity Fair's Women on Women, a new anthology that gathers our best writing about women by women, to be published October 29th by Penguin Press. Now, here are some of this month's contributors. Sloane Crosley, The Lion Tamer. Hassan and I both speak fluent Suburbia, says Crosley, whose latest book of essays, Look Alive Out There, is out in paperback. He's also pointed out the cultural similarities between Jews and Indians, so allow me to say he's a minch. It's this leveling that makes him such an effective performer. Everyone feels kinship. Marissa Meltzer, Face Value. Meltzer calls Emily Weiss, the founder of Glossier, ambitious and determined, but she has a dreamy quality as well. Like you could leave her in a room alone, and an hour later she would have an outline for a novel or for an improved Barbie dream home. Meltzer's book about the founder of Weight Watchers, This Is Big, will be published in April. Richard Lawson, TheirTube. Successful YouTubers go from kids recording in their bedroom to seasoned pros very quickly, says Vanity Fair chief critic Richard Lawson, who has been documenting YouTube culture since he reported from VidCon in 2015. YouTube may seem silly, and often is, but these people take it very seriously, and so should we. Mae Jong, Patriot Act. I had been wanting to do something on sex work for a while, but hadn't quite managed to find a way into the story, says Jong, who served as a war correspondent in Afghanistan. When the news about Robert Kraft broke down in Florida, I knew this was my chance. Charlotte Rutherford, Opening Act. The British photographer and director calls Camila Moroni super sweet and playful. I wanted to make images that felt classic, confident, and feminine, with a focus on Camila's movement and expression. I really enjoyed shooting her. She's naturally very warm and makes everything look effortless. Now from Brett Hinemuth comes opening act. Earlier this year, Camila Maroney sent shivers through South by Southwest and jolted a standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival with her performance in Annabelle Attanasio's film Mickey and the Bear. Her breakout role as the daughter of an opioid-addicted veteran reaches audiences nationwide this month, and now the American actor and model, who happens to call Leonardo DiCaprio her boyfriend, is taking the lead. Here, some insights gleaned from an evening at home with Hollywood's newest heroine. Opening photograph by Charlotte Rutherford, styled by Nicole Chapoteau. This quote from Camila Maroney, 22, who stars in Mickey and the Bear, "You either die a hero, or you live long enough to become an Instagram boyfriend." She was born in Los Angeles to two Argentinian actors. Growing up in Hollywood, you can't really run from it, and attended Beverly Hills High School. Our apartment happened to be in the school district. It was very weird when my classmates were getting $100,000 cars, because that was so not my reality. She earned her role as the titular Mickey from a self-tape audition shot in her mother's kitchen. A day after her callback, she flew to the film's location in remote Montana, where fast food was the norm. She favors McDonald's Chicken McNuggets, extra-large fries and an Oreo McFlurry, vanilla always. She calls Al Pacino, who dated her mother for years, a stepfather figure. He watched an early cut of Mickey and the Bear and sent along his helpful thoughts to the first-time director. The edits were made. Al Pacino, a stepfather figure, once told her, "You can mess it up and still be fine. Just act." The indie film is being hailed for its poignant closing scene. When reflecting on famous cinematic finales, she insists Rick should have gotten on the plane in Casablanca, and that there was enough room for Jack to fit on the Titanic door that saved Rose. She recently finished Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney in less than 48 hours. She calls it the best book ever, but isn't rooting for a screen adaptation. "I can't play either character, so I'm not interested." You'd be surprised by the amount of Spanx in her closet, as well as the fake diamond tiara she wears every birthday. Her happy place is her bed, next to which hangs a picture of an elephant named Zongoloni, which she adopted through Kenya's Seldrick Wildlife Trust. It cost $50 a year to keep them rehabilitated. It makes for a great Christmas present. She insists she's rarely hit on, but the worst pickup line she's ever received is, "You have the most beautiful eyes." She retorts, "They're not. They're brown and shitty." Her ideal date involves a great movie, an Italian dinner, and my glass of house cab. That's the only thing I know how to order at a restaurant, because I don't know anything about wine. She defended the 22-year age gap between her and DiCaprio by posting an archival photo of Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart, whose own age difference was 4 years more, for her nearly 2 million Instagram followers. "I've been starting to show my sense of humor more," she says. "People will always have awful things to say, because there's a sense of entitlement and safety behind the screen. But trust me, you don't need to be that angry." She cringes when revisiting a private moment captured by paparazzi at the Hotel du Cap Edenrock in Antibes. DiCaprio diligently snapping iPhone photos of her posed arabesque. "I saw the meme, 'You either die a hero, or you live long enough to become an Instagram boyfriend.' Poor thing, he's being called an Instagram boyfriend. He's an environmentalist and a movie star, and it doesn't mean anything." Now, a story told in illustrations. Sweet Spot Milk Bar, a magical dessert mecca, by Christina Tosi, opens a New York flagship. The flagship, inside the Ace Hotel New York, the 17th Milk Bar location, is the bakery's largest to date, with an empire that extends to Toronto, D.C., Las Vegas, and L.A. Flagship specialties include apple pie-flavored soft serve and a pepperoni pizza roll. Build a cookie pie bar. Riff on the signature compost cookie, made of potato chips, ground coffee, and pretzels, with a choice of dough and three mix-ins at one of three do-it-yourself dessert stations. Mini-Mart. Sweet swag is for sale at the bodega, from a milk bar skateboard and status totes to cookie mixes and bottles of dry cereal ready to turn into Tosi's famous cereal milk. Ship station. Build a care package with birthday cake truffles or the breakup bundle, decorated with stickers and stamps to send overnight. Classroom. Pastry chefs teach students how to layer funfetti, frosting, and crumbs into a birthday cake and share secrets behind the addictive milk bar pie, formerly known as crack pie. Star power. Dorothea Lasky and Alex Dimitrov, the writers behind the Twitter phenomenon and new book Astro Poets, play matchmaker between fall's standout scents and the astrological elements. Earth, notorious Oud by D.S. and Durga. What luck to be the lover of an earth sign, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. They will lavish you with creature comforts, such as a trip to a sauna shaped like an amethyst geode. Repay their sensual care with a headwind of Bulgarian rose, blended with saffron and oud. They'll want to wear it under a fake fur blanket. You're invited. Air, Cor Batant by Louis Vuitton. An air sign, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, makes every day a party. This perfume honors their sparkling spirit, with overtones of crisp pear mingling almost chaotically with jasmine, patchouli, and moss. Expect a heady sillage as you drive away with the top down for the weekend getaway they suggested 20 minutes ago. Water, Little Flower by Régime de Fleurs and Chloé Sevigné. Known to be romantic, a water sign, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, is the type to reread text from 2012 or send flowers without occasion. Tap that feeling of intimacy with this collaboration. Imagine bodega roses mixed with Palo Santo, which hints at the ethereal side of water. Fire, Libre by YSL Bude. The most important thing to a fire sign, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, is personal freedom, so don't expect to fit into their iCal too easily. This scent is similarly carefree yet intense, skirting feminine and masculine tropes with notes of vanilla and salty ambergris. It also has day-to-night flexibility, coffee date, or six-course dinner. More from the culture. Soul nourishment. Food is sustenance. It's nurture, it's connection, says Michael Kors, who since 2013 has helped provide 19 million meals worldwide through his philanthropic venture Watch Hunger Stop, which works in tandem with the UN's World Food Program. This year's tote and t-shirt aim to amplify the message of ending world hunger with one encapsulating word: love. Fashion in L.A. Ooh la la. Beyond red carpets and boardwalks, Los Angeles has exploded as a capital on the global fashion map. Fashion in L.A. by Tanya Faris and Krista Smith, published by Phaidon, celebrates more than 40 designers steeped in California cool. From the Vanities, My Stuff, Final Cut, the director behind Beyoncé and Rihanna videos and this month's Queen and Slim film, Melina Matsoukas proves that personal style is just another form of her artistry. Appreciations. Currently listening to Sloss and Malone's A Quiet Farewell, 2016 to 2018. Currently watching Years and Years on HBO, an insanely realistic peek into what the near future could look like. Director, Hype Williams always, I can get lost in his imagery. Book, A Brief History of Seven Killings by Marlon James. Podcast, the read. App, Poshmark. My cousin got me secretly selling my old clothes. It's a real addiction. Cocktail, Prosecco. Restaurant, my 2 cents in L.A. Flower, any floral arrangement from my friend Maurice at Bloom and Plume. Necessary extravagance, vacations. Dream dinner party guest, Asada Shakur and Fela Kuti. Secret talent, I'm a chef living in a director's body. Style, jewelry, Zora Rahman and Pankunesi. Bag, opening ceremony, mini laundry bag tote. My everyday for years. Sneakers, Union X Air Jordan kicks. Special occasion shoe, Brother Veli's snakeskin boots. Most recent purchase, Acne Studios sunglasses. Denim, Y Project. Pajamas, I got my t-shirt and my panties on. Shout out, Adina Howard. Favorite, least favorite trend, bucket hats are my favorite. I abhor stretch denim. Designers, Moelola, Proenza Schooler, Acne Studios, and Prada. I'm not good at choosing favorites. Style icon, Chardet. Beauty, essential, my Epicurean skin care routine. Lipstick, Vaseline. Daily makeup, Glossier Brow Flick. Shampoo, whatever is there. Home scent, Le Labo Santal, 26. Travel, hotel, Golden Eye or Strawberry Hill in Jamaica. Luggage, Rimowa. Late night room service order, chicken soup. Stamp on your passport you're proudest of, Egypt and Cuba, but they don't stamp. golden days. New ethical sourcing mandates make it easier to buy green and make a statement, by Alexis Cantor. Photograph by Kiernan Monahan and Theo Vambunakis. Chopar Haute Jewelry Necklace. As the worldwide demand for gold and diamonds rises, so too does the consumer understanding that even the most beautiful jewelry, when paired with environmental irresponsibility, is a recipe for buyer's remorse. NGOs like the Worldwide Fund for Nature have issued watchdog reports that highlight much-needed policy changes, and fine jewelers across the board are making strides to apply their exacting quality standards to their sustainability practices. Chopard's necklace, fashioned from 64.34 carats of Responsible Jewelry Council certified diamonds, set in 18-carat white, Fairmined gold, is one realization of the 21st-century notion of true luxury, extravagant pleasure without eco-guilt.
Thank you.
onto the fairground, Cinema Paradiso. Awards buzz began on speedboats and private palazzos at the Venice International Film Festival. The festival, now in its 76th year, has become the crucial first stopping point for big movies aiming at awards glory. For actors like Nicholas Hoult, navigating the panoply of prestige film by boat isn't just fashionable, it's practical. The radiant star of Netflix's Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson, en route to the premiere of the film for which she has earned some of the best reviews of her career. Cate Blanchett attended this year's festival as an ambassador for Armani, the fashion and lifestyle brand that is one of the great prides of Europe's beautiful boot. No stranger to festival trophies, Blanchett, who won the Volpi Cup in 2007 for I'm Not There, caught the premiere of Joker, which took home this year's top prize. In the photographs by Greg Williams, Ruth Negga, Nicholas Hoult, Zazie Beetz, Scarlett Johansson, Jude Law, Lily Rose Depp and Joel Edgerton, Cate Blanchett. More from the fairground to the nines. Vanity Fair and Saks Fifth Avenue celebrated the power of style during the Best Dressed List party at L'Avenue in New York. Photographs by Landon Nordeman. Pictured here, co-host Mackenzie Davis, Jeremy O. Harris, Jordan Roth and Zach Posen, Nikki Hilton Rothschild, Tori Birch, co-host and Saks President Mark Metrick, co-host Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Suki Waterhouse and Poppy Jamie, Hilary Rhoda and Damaris Lewis, and Christian Louboutin. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.